How does God grow his church? And it's very clear. It's in Acts 19, verses 17 to 20, and there's two real keys. And I'll read it to you, starting in verse 17. And this became known to all the Jews and Greeks. What became known? Well, it's this little scene that started in verse 11 of the same chapter, where Paul is busily sewing his leather work or whatever he did as a tent maker. And as he worked, he would sweat, and he would take out his handkerchief and go like this, and he'd set it on the workbench, and he'd get back, and he wore this apron so he wouldn't poke himself with the tools, and when he went to lunch, he'd take the apron off and set it down, and he'd go to lunch, and people would sneak in his shop, and they'd grab his sweat rag, and they'd take his apron, and if they went around, they could heal people. You understand? That's what's going on. It's fascinating to read. And so these seven exorcists that weren't Christians, they thought, wow, we're going to add Jesus to our repertoire. Wow, that's great. And so what happens is these itinerant, look at verse 13, they took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. You see, you don't have to be a Christian to cast out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus, like it says in Matthew 7. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? And Jesus will say, yes, you did, but you never knew me. So this is an example of those who were pretending to know the Lord. And they said to the evil spirits, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. How do you like that for a secondhand presentation? And then the man with the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. I mean, I know who God is. I know the Holy One of God. And Paul, I know. So obviously demons can tell who are Christians. Demons can see that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, that we belong to God. So this demonized man says, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is. Who are you? You are not associated with either one of them. You're not carrying Paul's apron in the name of Christ and his sweat rag, and you're not a bearer and indweller of Jesus Christ. Doesn't live in you. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. One man leaps on seven, overpowered all seven of them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. I mean, it just went all around the city. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. All of a sudden, people said, be careful about this Lord Jesus Christ. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's real powerful. It's a real something's going on there. And they began to have fear. And the name of Christ that was magnified. In other words, people were interested in knowing who Jesus Christ was because he was the one that was real. He was the one that was powerful. He was the one that could overcome. And even the spirits were afraid of him. So it's amazing what happens. Well, keep reading in verse 18. And many of those who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. So as soon as Jesus' name was magnified, the saints began to get consecrated. Those who believed, who had believed, these people are already believers, they came confessing and telling their deeds, and many of those who practiced, who had practiced, see, this is their former life, magic, brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. What is going on there? The church is getting consecrated. They're saying, hey, we don't want anything to do with the kingdom of darkness, with the devil, with evil, with all that, that our former life. We were saved. We turn from darkness to light. We turn from the power of Satan to God. We receive forgiveness of sins. We don't want any part of that old life. Reminds me of when Bonnie and I moved, when we were on staff at MacArthur, we went up to New England. And I pastored a historic 165-year-old church. The pastor just prior to me had been an evangelist to Roman Catholics, and he had built the church on door-to-door. Rhode Island is the most Roman Catholic state, even more than Mary's land. It's 98%, you know, Roman Catholics, dense. And so he just went door-to-door leading Roman Catholics to Christ. And the church had really grown, but he realized that there was a real hindrance. And it was like there was something holding back the church. People had gotten saved, but they weren't growing. They weren't hungry for the word. And so he began visiting these homes, and he found they still had all their little you know, on their dashboard, Saint whoever to keep them safe driving, and around their necks, Saint whoever to keep them safe traveling, and you know, this little thing over the kitchen table so they could, during their prayer, look up at Mary or whatever it was, and they had these, all this stuff, and their beads, you know, and they just didn't know what to do with all that stuff, and it was holding them back. The idolatry of Romanism was holding them back. So he preached through this passage. And during his sermon, he wheeled in front of the communion table a 55-gallon metal drum. He said, "We're having communion tonight. Before you partake in the communion of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to renounce anything you have of idolatry, paganism, any images you have, any things you hold, hoping for spiritual benefit from holding those or praying to them or looking at them or feeling them or having, you know, them around." He said, "Bring them," and he said, "We're going to burn them tonight." It was the turning point in the church. When we got there, they had planted 21 churches in Greater Providence area because the people renounced. They brought, look at verse 19, they brought all that stuff that was magical and burned them in the sight of all. They didn't sell them on eBay, by the way, so someone else could be ensnared by it. They destroyed anything that had to do with Satan and evil and idolatry and everything else. And look what happens in verse 20. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Okay. Lesson number one, Paul taught that to magnify God, we have to divest ourselves of anything tied to Satan, to demons, to occultic activity, to magical black arts. We have to renounce, not just say it, we have to get rid of it in our life. Did you know many Christians are held back from fully serving the Lord because they have things that are hidden in their life, hidden to everyone but, of course, God. And the Spirit of God is grieved because when He looks at us, He sees what we are choosing to hide, to hold on to cherish more than Him. Because we know that displeases Him, but it has a hold on us. Paul said, "You must renounce the darkness." And that was a turning point for that church.